I appreciate this invitation to be here. I really do. I've enjoyed, I appreciate the good message our brother Roth brought. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. And I remember back years ago, one of our members' father passed away, and I attended the funeral, and back up in the hills there a little ways. And I don't make fun of it because I make such a message. But this old preacher said, I'm going to read some scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes. And trying to think where he meant. And he said, I don't know where I'll come back to it or not. So I'm going to read something to me, and I don't know where I'll get back to it or not. Okay. I appreciate that message. I was thinking a while ago, some of you maybe, Dr. James Stewart preached for us years ago. He's with the Lord now, missionary. And I think I tell this like he told it, but don't, it's right close to it. He had an old-fashioned mother who witnessed to him, wanted to get him saved, and he kept rejecting the Lord. One day she read a verse in this Bible. I don't know where it was, Mark 11, 24, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe, you receive. That's a good one anyway. But anyway, she read a verse in the Bible, and she just claimed it. She believed it, and she rejoiced over it. That Wednesday night, she went to church. The preacher had a testimony meeting, and she got up and said, I just want to praise God. My boy is just as good as saved, and I thank God for it. Well, you know, anything goes through 2 or 3 miles, it never comes just like it was saved. So a few days later, a fellow met James. He was a young man, met him on the street, and walking down the street, said, I heard some good news about you. He said, what's that? Your mother said the other night you got saved. He said, no. He said, I've got one of the best Christian mothers ever lived. And she's always talking to me. I said, you misunderstood. I said, I'm not saved. James said, weeks, maybe a few months passed. He's a football player. And he said he's playing football. And all at once, something come over him, and he's afraid he's going to hell before the game got over. And he said when that thing got over, he went on that dugout, I believe they call it. And Mama told him a lot of times how to be saved. He got to learn to beg the Lord to save him and trusted Christ his Savior. He was so happy. And he said, boy, you wait till my old shouting mother gets to hear about this. And he went in, when he went in home, he said, Mother, I got some good news. He said, I just got saved. And she said, don't get too excited, son. I've been rejoicing several weeks about that. And I heard Clarence Sexton, you know, Clarence worked with Dr. Lee Robertson for some time. And he said, Dr. Robertson, I believe he went to heaven. He's about 96, 97. A year or so before he died, Clarence said, I took him a ride. He's very weak. And I said, Dr. Robertson, if you had your ministry to live over, is there anything you'd change? Clarence said just like that. He said, oh, yes, I'd have more faith in God. And Charles, ever since then, ever since he made that statement, that's my prayer. It's been my prayer, but it's more of a burden to pray every day, more faith in God. And I thought about what the Lord let Lee Robertson see. And yet, he felt like more faith in God. And so I appreciate the message, like I said. And let's face it. If I'm worrying, the faith's gone. And I do, but the faith's still gone. But when the faith comes, the worry's gone. They just don't hang around together. So why don't we just believe God and go ahead and shout the victory because he said so. And I'm glad to see several of you. If I call one of you's name, I'd forget some of you. But I'm glad to see you tonight. And you just sit back. I'll be through in 2 or 3 hours. And you know, the old Hardshell Baptist preacher was not the same one. I'm not against you Hardshell now, but not the same fella. But that one never did come back to his scripture. He got the dreaming and the vision and over yonder, and he never did. He didn't come back. But I told about another old preacher. You know, I've had a lot of funerals with Primitive Baptist preachers, and they're not long-winded like you used to. But back years ago, one would go an hour, you know. And he said, this old boy said, he preached an hour, and he said, y'all pray for me. I feel like I'm giving out. This fellow said he didn't know I was praying he would give out, so don't you do that. I got several things on my mind tonight. And let me say before I read this scripture that I wished I could stay. I wished I could have been here all the week. And I'm not that important, but it's just one of them times that I you pray for my wife. My wife's having a time. She had a knee replacement, come through that pretty good. She has arthritis, and now she's having spurs. Oh, she's having a time with them things. And I took her to the doctor this morning. She wanted the Sloughs over here, used to be in our church, and she said, be sure and tell them I wanted to come, but she couldn't. But you pray for her. But anyway, I've got to go back tonight because we had two deaths connected with our church, one yesterday and one today. And I got to be with them families for a while. They're not members, but parents and all that. And then on Thursday, I'm supposed to go to Illinois and preach at this revival fire thing on up there. You pray we can have a good meeting. I'm supposed to be. I'll have to go Thursday because I preach at 9 o'clock Friday morning and then at 8 o'clock Friday night and be back then. So I'd like to stay, but I wish I could. I'm not so important that I have to run in here and you see me and leave. I need preaching. I need preaching too. I mean, I love preaching. Dr. Tom Malone said, I like preaching. I like good preaching. He said, I like preaching so good, I even like some bad preaching, he said. Amen. That's one thing God gave me a desire. 65 years ago, when he saved me, he gave me a hunger for the word of God. And I appreciate that. Let me read a few verses. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus said to his disciples, who do ye say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, he didn't talk about building the church upon Peter, upon Christ. He's the solid rock. We know that. Building his church. And I just had this thing on my mind. You know, I'm not old, but I'm not young anymore. And I've had the joy of being around some of the old giants that I call is going on. And I just thought there'd be a lot of preachers here. And I won't encourage you, preachers. Seem like we're not having a whole lot of preachers standing like the one time did. Right. Lester right. Roloff, what a yeah. man of God. He was with me so many times.
That's right.
Oliver Green was with me in 1966. I want to tell you this. Oliver came in on Monday, you know, he was from Greenwood, South Carolina, and preached Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And on Monday night, he said he was on 125 radio stations daily at that time. And he said, I answered mail until I got ready to come up here today. And he said, I opened a letter from a station in California that I was on. And they said, Brother Green, we want you to be thinking about this thing. I didn't ask him what it was. He told him in the pulpit. We want you to be thinking about this thing. You're a little harsh on some things. And we hate to take you off of our station. You be pondering and thinking about it, though, and see if you can't do those something. And Oliver Green said, I answered that one today. And this is what he said. I told them before I'd compromise the truth, they could put that thing in the ocean out there.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. Amen. Lester Roloff coming in one day. I said, how you doing, brother? Oh, brother Bobby, I'm so excited. He said two businessmen has told me in three or four months, they're going to give me $500,000 piece for the work in Corpus. And I'm excited. I am excited about that. Boy, tell me what I was going to do with it. I don't know. 6 months or so later, he come. I said, how you doing? Got let down the worst ever got out in my life. Like that. Well, you remember he spent some nights in jail because he wouldn't accept it. Well, I thought, Brother Charles, that's probably it. And I said, what happened? He said, you remember them two businessmen I told you about, going to give me the $500,000 for the work? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, kind of like the same story. They come to me and said that we've been talking about this thing, and we ought to feel like there's some things you ought to soften up on a little bit. And we just can't give it to you unless you are. And just like that, Brother Orloff said, I had to tell one for sale. Now, folks, we need some people like that today. We don't have to be mean, but we need to stand. I've thought about that scripture so much where Jesus said he sent you out harmless as a dove, and yet at the same time, wise as a serpent. And we need that. I just going through the Bible here where it talks about the house of God. I wouldn't have time. But you remember over there, and I'm going to get down here in my thoughts in just a minute. But you remember over there in the book of Genesis when Jacob was running from Esau, and he got over that night, you know, and he fixed him a pillar of stone and made him a bed. And God spoke in dreams and visions back there in the Old Testament, you know. And you know, he had a dream that night, and he dreamed that the ladder was ascending, the angel ascended from heaven, earth, and so on. And he woke up the next morning, and he said, surely the Lord's been in this place, and this is none other but the house of God. You remember that? And he promised God some things. And then over there, I believe it's the 35th chapter of Genesis, after he got married, his family was living like the devil and had their gods and all of that. And the Lord said, you need to go back to the house of God. You need and get rid of those idols, your wives, get rid of those idols and come back to Bethel, you see. And even in the book of Judges, there were one of the tribe, I believe it was the tribe of Benjamin, had went away from God. Israel was calling them back. And looked like it was going to hook, but they went back, it says, to the house of God. Yeah. Then you think about Solomon when he built that temple and obeyed God. And the glory of the Lord came down. Yeah. And they couldn't even preach for a little while. Boy, I tell you, I miss them old time services, folks. I do, I miss them. Old-time religion. I'm not talking about this here junk of bringing in rock music and of getting people stirred up in the flesh. I'm talking about something real, my friend. That's what I'm talking about. Real, brother. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real, like the book teaches. And I get hungry for that. I really do. And preachers, we need to stand. We need to stand. That's what I'm saying. I could go on with several things. But I just thought about this. What should the house of God be? And, of course, it ought to be a house of prayer. It ought to be a house of prayer. You know Jesus, when he went into the temple, and there was buying and selling like they are today. You know, I feel sorry for some of these restaurants around Winston-Salem. They're going out of business because the churches are getting all of it. I mean, I on Saturday afternoon, I'm bad to look at the paper and see what's going on Sundays. And you'd be surprised how many of them has got this for sale and that for sale and supper for a certain time and lunch for a certain time and $4 a plate and $3 a plate and all that stuff. Well, using the house of God for merchandise. And Jez doing that. You know what the story says there, buying and selling doves, and Jesus turned their tables over and drove them out and said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer. And brother, we've got away from it. I remember back in my earlier ministry, I still preach up in there, but I preached a lot, I'm talking about 50 years ago, up in the mountains. You know, I could drive 50 miles and little churches back up in there. Man, I remember how I used to go to the prayer room. I remember some churches where they didn't have no rooms to go. And I'm thinking of one now. It was built right out in the woods, and every night before church, we'd go out in the woods. The old preacher say, we better get out and talk to God. If he don't come tonight, we won't have a meeting much. And we'd get out there in those woods and pray and beg God. And don't misunderstand me now. I like sports. But now to stand around and talk about Carolina Duke and everything else instead of praying. No wonder when we come in the house of God that God don't come. I think old brother C.L. Grace, he's in heaven now. He used to teach our men's Bible class. He was an old-fashioned West Virginia man. And he moved down there. And a sweet, sweet fellow, very quiet, you know. Never heard him say amen. Boy, I tell you, I get to preaching, and he'd sit there and cry and do me like that, and that really helped me. But I never will forget him. One day, he was standing in the hall of the church there after service, and good Bible teacher. And he never didn't know it, I heard him, but some men were standing around and talking. And he said, one of them said, Brother Grace, do you use an outline when you teach? And he said, well, I always have one handy, but if God comes, I don't need it. You know what he meant, don't you, Charlie? Yes, sir. Oh, folks, that would really look. Listen, everything ought to be done in decent and in order. But we need the breath of heaven in our churches. We need the breath of heaven in our churches. I think about it. I could go back to the early days of gospel life when I'd see people cry and pray. Man, we in our first building down there, we were so overrun. We tried to buy land to know what to do. And we got so burdened for souls. And I wasn't but 23 years old, 24 when I came to gospel life. And anyway, it didn't matter where you slept much or not. I had about 15 or 20 men would meet me every Saturday night. And we'd meet at 9 o'clock and pray till about 5 in the morning. Now, we didn't have breaks and have donuts. We had thought it'd been to sin to eat one in church in those days. But we prayed. We prayed. That little old block building. A sinner couldn't get in that thing hard without getting saved. I'm not kidding. We'd pray all night for God's power to come. We didn't have any padded pews. We had benches. We had made them in one of the men's basement. And if you didn't sit down right, you'd get pinched. We didn't have no air condition. I mean, that's fine. We didn't have no PA system. I mean, just old hard cement. But listen, God come down in that thing. And I can remember when them little old windows were turned out like that. And people looking through them little windows out. Looking at me in there. Little old vestibule was packed and jammed. We left chairs in the aisle on prayer meeting night. It was full. And it's just something unusual about that place. We'd make us some lists on Saturday night, about 20 of us, you know, and who wanted to pray for especially. We'd get us about 15, 20 pieces of notebook paper, and this and said, I want to pray for this and this one. There's a fellow about 2 or 3 miles up the road. His name was Frank Carter. And they said he never went to church. And he'd got to slip in our services, him and his wife. And I said, let's pray for that man. And I remember we put his name, all of us put his name on there. And I said, he's been coming. Now let's pray and he'll be here and get saved tomorrow. And we had others on there. We prayed all night for Frank Carter. And the next day, the little church just had one aisle. And the next morning, there he sat. His wife sat over here with some women, and he sat right on the end over here. Very backward fellow, 54 years old. I can remember how old he was. And I preached and gave the invitation. He raised his hand for prayer, but he didn't come. We sung a second verse, and he put his foot out now, but he put it back. And he stood there. We sung the third or fourth verse. And here he'd come down the aisle. And the closer he got to the front, he just come like that. He just went on down on his knees. I got to shout that morning. I never shouted many times in my life. I got to shout that morning. He got saved. He said something I never have heard a man say before. I said, Frank, I hope I didn't scare you this morning. I said, it just made me so happy that you got saved. He said this. He said it's time to shout the devil got saved. That's exactly what he said. Boy, he was a blessing. He was a blessing. Wasn't conviction, but I want to tell you this is what I want to tell you. He told us, he called his wife to see us, and he said, I couldn't sleep last night. He didn't know he was praying. He didn't know that, but God knew it. And he said, I couldn't sleep last night. At 2 o'clock this morning, I said, see us? We're going back down yonder at that place this morning. And when that preacher says, come up and get saved, I'm going. And she said, well, if you do, I am too. Now, who do you think it woke him up at 2 o'clock and they couldn't sleep? Right. It was old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. And that comes through prayer, my friend, through prayer. I got to share this with you. Something happened Thursday. Sunday night at our church, unusual. Let me go back here. You know, I pastored one church 1 year before I came to Gospel Light. D.W. Long, some of you may know him from Thomasville, he started Gospel Light. It was there 7 years. I remember when it was organized. I never did a meeting for some time. They built this little block building. And then you got to have Dr. Seitler, and I always loved to hear Dr. Seitler preach. And then he had Mays Jackson, and I'd go over there and listen to him preach. So I met him. Okay. But this is what I started to tell you. When I was ordained in July of 1955 at a Kerwin Baptist Church one Sunday afternoon, that's where I got saved at. And I got a call to a little church, you don't know where Walnut Cove, about 12, 14 miles over there. And they ordained me there to go there. There's a young lady in our church singing a trio, and she is dating this man that's going to get married. And they wanted me to marry. First people I ever married in my life. My pastor told me later, I tried to win this man to the Lord, but he very quiet, backward feller, but he wouldn't get saved. And I married him, and my pastor told me later, said, "Now you, that's an unequal yoke." He explained all that to me, you know, but it's too late. Anyway, it went on, and he had to go in service. They called him in service, and his wife left him then. Okay, he went on for some time. Not see him once in a while and talk to him. Very quiet, clean living man, just drop his head, not now. But he remarried, and he and the woman he's married to now have been married, he said, 52 years. He's around 80. Okay. His wife now, she's a pianist at a little Southern Baptist church about 15 miles from me. I'd see him once in a while, and she said, "I like to come to Gospel Light." She said, "I can't get him to go anywhere." And I promised her a year or two ago, she told me where they lived. I was going to come and try to talk to him. I never had. But Sunday night, here I am, started preaching, and a door opened. And here he come and his wife and sit down about halfway back. Man, I mean, you know, he had never been to our church. Now, I married him 58 years ago at his first marriage, okay. I just so glad to see him. That was Sunday night. And so we bowed our heads. And I said, "Is anybody here not saved?" That I could just remember in prayer. He raised his hand right straight up. And so I prayed. Didn't call his name out or anything. His wife's standing there with her head down. Praying. And then we got through praying. Had a song. I said, "Why don't you just come on and get saved?" He turned. Here he come. I met him right down the front. He said, "You remember my name?" I said, "Bill, I sure do. Do you know you're a sinner? Yeah, I want to be saved." I led him to Christ Sunday morning. Sunday night in our church. You know, just keep on praying. 58 years. He wouldn't go to church. He never went with his wife. But you know what she told me after church? She said, "Brother Bobby, our church didn't have service tonight." And said, I said, "You want to just ride around a while?" And he said, "Yes." I had no idea. And said, we was right up the road. And he looked over at me. And he said, "Let's go down there and hear Bobby Robinson preach tonight." And she said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." And it was a few minutes late. Isn't that amazing? That's encouraging. I had a spell Sunday night after that. I hugged him. I had to, after 58 years. Him getting saved. He's got to be around 80 years old. But God answers prayer. Yes. Now I'm just saying, let's just ask the Lord to help us to believe him and pray. You could go in the Bible and you find, you know, the church at Pentecost, how they prayed. God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And then you remember in Acts chapter 3, you remember Peter and John went up together to the house of the Lord to pray at the hour of prayer. They had a time of prayer. And you know what happened there? And God healed that man. The devil got to fight. They kept on praying, you remember. There in Acts chapter 4, they threatened them and everything. And they couldn't stop them. After they finally turned them loose, they went back to their own company, the church, and said, "Lord, help us." They didn't say, "We're going to quit if they don't stop." They said, "Lord, grant us all boldness and they was filled again with the Holy Spirit. Great power came and people got saved. Brother, let me tell you, if we could just get back to some old-fashioned, I don't mean saying prayers, I mean travailing before God. When Zion travails, children's born, my friend. That's what I'm talking about. Let me tell you, when Holy Ghost conviction, don't let that scare you, Baptist, when I say Holy Ghost, but when Holy Ghost conviction comes, something's going to happen. Boy, my old-fashioned mother prayed for me. My daddy was a preacher. My daddy died at 39 with a heart attack. Daddy, I was raised up in church, and I got out of church when I got to be a teenager. Mother used to beg me to go. Once in a while, I'd go, and I didn't know it was conviction. The little church, something get a hold of me. Man, I remember picking up the paper one day and reading where a boy my age died, like to scare me to death. And I got in such a shape on October 24th, 1948. My wife and I was going to get married a month after before. And mother said, why don't you go? They called them the big meetings in. Big meeting with her. You take Jackie, that was my girlfriend, and I wanted to show her off. I said, we'll go. And I went on Sunday night. And I'm standing there, that old preacher preached and squalling and begging sinners to come. And boy, I'll tell you something, got a hold to me. And I was biting my lip, trying my best, and tears was flowing. And the devil said, what will your girlfriend think about you? She'll think she's wearing a cry. Devil, do everything he can to send you to hell. She didn't look at me as far as that goes. Then the second thought is, what if you can't hold out? The old preacher said, we're going to sing another, but I'm glad he did. I might have been in hell. But to that thought in my mind, I said, girl, an old girlfriend, I don't want to go to hell. And when I turned loose 65 years ago, last October, when I turned loose, something happened back there, my friend. That old preacher, you know, back then, they wouldn't take the Bible and show you. They'd get around you and pray. And I'd been to church, and somebody did get saved, and they'd shout sometime. And I thought, I guess it's coming. But it didn't hit me. I never did do it. But the burden left me yonder when I said yes to Christ. But it was through prayers that won me to Christ. We need to pray. Then I want to say secondly here, good night, I got to hurry up here. I want to say secondly here, we need some old-fashioned preaching. Just preach the word of God. That's all. Just preach the word of God. John the Baptist came what? Preaching in the wilderness. Now, I love guitars and I love good old music, but he didn't come playing a guitar. Bless God, he come preaching. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about just hollering hooping. I'm talking about getting in this book right here and just preach the word of God. Jesus preached, if you remember. It's in the Bible. And it pleases God by the foolishness, not by foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we just need some preaching. Just going, I'm talking about just right back and preaching the word of God. I so much I could say about that. Peter preached, you know, and 3,000 got saved, if you remember. Acts chapter 8, when the church was scattered abroad because of persecution, they went everywhere preaching. You notice that? And you go on down through your Bible. In Acts 20, old Paul preached a long sermon. Man fell out of the third floor and died. And he raised him up and kept going. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, my friend. Oh, Bob Gray, you know it's so long-winded. He used to say, people come to get out. Brother, we need a hunger for the word of God. That's me, just a hunger for the word of God, my friend. And we need preachers. We need to just preach the word of God. Preach the word. I mean, thank God we can get us an outline. But let me tell you, a pretty outline without just trying to perform. God, deliver us. We need some old-fashioned preaching that comes from the heart, my friend. I used to hear John R. Rice say, it's different when you have to say something and then sometime when you got something you got to say makes a whole lot of difference. And we need praying and we need preaching. And then we need some personal witnessing. You remember in Acts chapter 5, when they was persecuted and beaten? They didn't say, well, John said, Peter, I tell you, if the Lord's in this thing, I don't believe that happened. I'm going home. No, he didn't. You read in Acts 5:42, they beat them there in Acts 5. Where'd they go? And daily in the temple. And in every house that ceases not to preach, teach Jesus Christ. Friend, we Gospelite, I used to have the office crowd to go out with us and knock on doors. It's hard to get them stirred up to do that now. Some of them's been off to some of these places where they teach them it's different now. No, it's not. This is what the book teaches, my friend. This is what the book teaches. There's people all around, Gospelite, and I've been there almost 58 years, and there's people, more people around there that's lost, needs to be saved, and would be if we just get people out and knock on their door. That's what I'm talking about. And just to get them knocked out. I remember Joe Myers, you know, it was Kerwin, that's my home church. Joe retired here 2 or 3 years ago, but he was there 50 years. Joe's a good man. And I can remember back here some years ago, I had a phone call one morning from one of the meals at one of the places there in Winston. And this lady, she told me her name, and she said, I wonder if I could set up an appointment with you and talk to you. Well, I said, yes, ma'am. When? I said, any time. I'm here now. And she said, well, I can be there in about 20 minutes. In a few minutes, a lady about probably 35-year-old, nice lady, come walk, sit down there and told me she was a lady to call. And I, first thing I thought about, probably having some troubles at home or something. And I sat there a few minutes. I said, well, ma'am, what's bothering you? And she put her hands up in her face, and she said, just tell me how to get saved. Now listen, this is what I started to tell you. She said, a few weeks ago, I visited this Kerwin Baptist Church, and they put out some visitor's cards, and I signed one of them. And a few weeks ago, two ladies came to my house, and they talked to me. And I didn't get saved, but they kept talking to me. And ever since then, it's been working on me.
Oh, bless the Lord.
And she said, I couldn't sleep last night. And she said, I don't know that preacher. And said, I didn't know her after she told me I know her people. But she said, something said to me, if you go talk to Bobby Robson tomorrow, he'll help you. And I told Joe about that when he was there. I said, you know, you go out yonder and you get to sow the seed. And probably whoever them two ladies were may have came back that night on visitation. And if it's asked, if the usual thing, did you have good? Well, no, nobody saved. Listen, some plants, some waters, and God gives increase. And I'm just saying, we need to be busy witnessing. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. It's witnessing. God will use His Word if we'll just do that, witnessing. And we need to do that, my friend. And then we need to realize we're going to have persecution. I mean, this church had persecution. You know that. I won't go into all of them. But my, how they did. They put them in prison. You know, just over and over. Beat Paul. Killed him. God raised him from the dead. Folks, we need, don't look for troubles, but they're coming. They're coming.
Yeah.
And you fellows who've been pastoring very long, you know it. I don't want to get you under the juniper tree, but you're either in a battle now, or you just got through one, or you're fixing to go in one. There's things always in our churches I do not know how to handle them. I do not know it. But I can't quit. The devil don't like when people get saved. Devil don't like them, and he's going to try. But there's a God in heaven. Can take. I'll tell you a verse of scripture that all of it's good. But Exodus 14:14. You remember when Moses and the children of Israel were standing there, and yonder comes old Pharaoh's army, and there's a Red Sea out there, and God says, stand still. Good night, I'm going to show you the sound. I'm going to show you how the Lord was there or something. But in Exodus 14:14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you.
Amen.
And hold you with peace. I've tried to fight a lot of battles, and I make a mess out of every time. But if I'll depend on God, oh, I see how He dissolves things. He can move the devil out of the way. Preachers, you be careful. Be careful. God don't mean for a man to stay like me forever. I'm not trying to set no records. I'm just trying to do the will of God. But I'm just saying we can miss the will of God. Oh, Paul Sisk over in Madison, Mayonnaise, he's my friend. I think he just had his 30th birthday. 30th anniversary. 15 years ago, he called me one day. He said, I want to ask you, Brother Bobby, do you know a good church that's looking for a pastor who wants to do something? He said, I've got two deacons. I hope them deacons are not here tonight. But he said, I've got two deacons that's aggravated me ever since I've been here. And he said, I mean everything. And this is what he said. I just don't believe God wants me to keep battling this thing all the time. Well, I'm not smart, but a thought hit me. And I said, Paul, do you reckon God's moving you or them deacons? And he said, well, you got a thought right there, Brother Bobby. I said, let's me and you really join together. Months now, and you just, God's given you grace to battle it this far. And about 6 months, he called me. He said, praise God, two fellows is gone. And if that old boy, and it's not me, it was God, but if that old boy, if he's told me one time, he's told me 10 times and said, thank you for what you said. Yeah. Now, what you trying to say, Brother Bobby, it me or you, if we're not careful, it's easy to believe we're in the will of God. And Christian, that don't mean just us preachers. All of, when everything's going good, but when it gets going bad, we better be careful.
Yeah.
You see, because we could miss the will of God.
That's right. There.
And so I'm just saying that there's going to be persecutions. And then I put down here, it ought to be a house of progress all the time. And when I say progress, I'm not talking about, listen, every church is not going to be a large church. And we better watch about this ego problem.
Yeah, right.
You know, you better get that eye out of it. God, he's done jerked the rug out from under me a lot of times. And I'm not trying to be smart. I'm trying to be honest. I've been trying to preach. I was saved at 17. God began to deal with me to preach. And I was scared. You wouldn't believe I used to be backward. My pastor at that time wanted me to teach a little boy's class and it scared me to death. Yet God wanted me to preach. I got married when I was young. I've been married 65 years. And I ain't planning to stop now. We were praying for 100 of them. But I'm not proud of this. I thank God for your pastor here. And I tried getting my kids to have a good education. But I don't have any education. I had two kids in 3 years or so. And nobody asked me to go to college. And I was just fighting, I was in the office. No man ever got in such a frustrated condition. And I got to the place that I was afraid not to surrender. And was afraid to surrender. And I promised God, if this happened, I'll do it. And then it seemed like the Lord said, he don't have to have me. I could drop dead tonight. He wouldn't miss me. But it seemed like he said, now what you going to do? You said he's going to do that. One evening, I come in from work. I was 19, almost 20 years old. And I went down to old Robertson Farm down on, didn't tell anybody, but I went down there in a patch of woods, laid down and squalled like a baby, scared to death. But I said, Lord, you say, was you looking for church? I didn't even want a pastor church. I just going to preach. That's it. But God took that burden away. And God gave me the joy of pastoring. But this is what I'm trying to say. I realize after 63 years of trying to preach, and I preached 1 year before almost 59 years together in pastoring, that I am not near as smart as I thought I was 60 years ago. I mean that. I fell to my face too many times. Oh, how I need James 1:5 every day.
Yeah.
And you do too.
Right.
And that's wisdom. Your kids may go bad. Maybe 100 more things, a job. You don't know what to do, but he knows. He knows. And we need, with everything we do, we need to seek God's wisdom. Stay true just stand for old-time religion. If it was wrong 50 years ago, it's wrong now. If it's right 50 years ago, it's still right. Jesus is coming. Let's stand true. Let's just have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn to preach. Our Father, I thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for your word. And help me to practice what I've tried to preach tonight. Lord, to spend more time in prayer. Pray without ceasing. All of us have had prayers answered. We thank you for that. And Lord, sometimes you don't answer the way we think, but you always answer right. And help us to depend upon you. Give us more faith. Help every pastor and every evangelist and every missionary to always keep their eyes upon you. You said, Lord, there's safety in the multitude of counselors, and how true that is. We need to help one another, but we need your counseling greater than all. And bless now. Bless this good pastor here. I thank you for Brother Charles and his. God bless him, his people, every church represented here. God bless every one of them. Help us to occupy till you come. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name.